If you get up every morning and you go outside and you've got a nice car paid for, there's no car payments, you got a beautiful home and it's paid for, your insurance is paid up, you got $10,000 in the bank and everything's going, you got food in the cabinet, you got money in your back pocket, who needs God today? Nobody. You know, I don't need God, I'm okay, look what I have done. No, well, he says, I know how to fix you where you'll start looking for me. But if you wake up one morning, the house is gone, and you know that happened to a lot of people just recently in Dallas, you know that? They woke up one morning, the house is totally gone. I mean, bloated cars, I saw cars piled up out there. I mean, just tore all to pieces, and several people got killed. Now then, all of a sudden, if you don't have a car, you ain't got a home, maybe your body's broke all to pieces because of devastation. Now then, who needs God? Especially when they drag you to the doctor and the doctor says, I'm sorry for this one. We can't do nothing. He's going to pass away. If you're laying there, you're saying, God, are you still up there? I sure do need you now. Yeah, it's real easy. He says, oh, I just wondered if you was going to listen to me. Does he know how to get your attention? Yeah. Boy, he can get your attention. I guarantee you that. But most people don't realize that he's the one doing this. They don't want even to think about that. God's terrible anger will come upon those who do such things. In other words, all these things up above, he's trying to tell us, get rid of these things. Verse 7 and 8. You used to do them when your life was still part of this world. I heard this pastor tell this one time. He was preaching about salvation, and this little girl, she come up and she said, you know, you make this sound so good. I really would love to make Jesus Lord of my life. But she said, I'm a strip dancer. And she said, I love what I do because I love those men throwing those $100 bills out there. She loved it. So she said, from what I've heard you say today, if I made Jesus Lord of my life, I couldn't be a strip dancer anymore. He said, oh, honey, he said, if you make Jesus Lord of your life, you can do anything you want to do. You can just keep on being a strip dancer. That won't be a problem at all. She says, what? He said, yeah, sure. You have freedom. You have freedom in Christ. She said, you tell me if I accept Jesus as my Lord and Savior, if I want to, I can continue being a strip dancer. He said, yes, you sure can. She said, okay, then I want Jesus as my Lord and Savior. She accepted Jesus as her Lord and Savior. A couple of weeks later, she come back to church and she said, you're the slickest pastor I ever seen in my life. She said, I got saved and walked out of here, and I don't even have a desire to do those bad things no more. I wouldn't do that if my life depended on it. Now, she said, if you'd have told me, if I come to Jesus, I have to quit that. She said, I would have stayed with where I was. She said, you're a slick preacher. But did the pastor know what he was talking about? Yes, without the Holy Spirit, you can't tell people that don't have God that they can't sin or they got to get rid of their sexual desires and their lust and all that stuff. That's the way the world lives. You can't tell them that. If you tell them that, they say, I ain't coming to your church. If I come to your church, I got to quit all the stuff I like. But you don't tell them none of that. You just tell them, come and make Jesus Lord of their life and then let the Holy Spirit do his job. And he says, you used to do them when your life was still part of this world. But now is the time to get rid of anger, rage, malicious behavior, slander, and dirty language. I remember one time a man that had started working for me up in Minneapolis. And I went up there, and he was one of about three men that worked there in that plant for me. He was a new one. And when I walked in, I asked him right off the bat, was he a Christian? He said, yeah, sure I am. I said, do you go to church? He said, yeah, Presbyterian church. I said, okay, good. But I couldn't believe the foul words that come out of this man's mouth. I mean, as we worked together that day, I couldn't believe. Finally, he said, Thurman, they tell me you know more about these vote two-bias machines than anybody. He said, would you go up there and explain them to me because I don't know anything about them. And I said, sure. So we went up there and every other word out of his mouth is some kind of a dirty word. Wow, awful. We went up there, we're standing there by the machines, and I said, his name was George. I said, George, let me ask you a question. Are you really a born-again Christian? He said, well, yes, I am. I said, well, you sure do make me doubt. Because I said, I don't know what kind of church the one you go to is, but obviously it doesn't teach God's word. Because I said, the Lord clearly told us we're not to have any foul language. We're to do away with it. And I said, obviously you've never heard that, or you really don't know Jesus. I said, do you really know Jesus? He said, yes, sir, I really do know Jesus. I said, well, then, George, let me ask you, please, if you really know Jesus, the Holy Spirit's telling you out of my mouth to never let another foul word come out of your mouth. He said, I can do that. I said, okay. So I explained the ice machines to him. I was with him about 3 or 4 days. I was up there about 3 days between the two buildings. I was over up there. And every time I was around George, I never heard another foul word come out of his mouth. And about a month later, Dick Erickson, which also was my lead up there, he called me and said, Thurman, what did you do to George when you were here? I said, what do you mean? He said, man, he used to cuss. He was the worst cusser I ever heard. But that after you got here and were here a couple hours, I never heard him say another word. Did you do something to him? I just told him, I said, I asked him if he was a Christian, and he said he was. And I said, so, well, the Lord told us, you know, not to have any foul language come out of our mouth. He said, man, he ain't said a dirty word since you left. I said, well, you know what that tells me? He really is the Son of God. He was hearing the Holy Spirit. Now then, if he'd have said, okay, and then only did it while I was there, and when I left, went back to his old ways, then we got a problem here. But the Holy Spirit continued to convict him, and George worked for me for 5 or 6 years after that before he left and went somewhere else, and I never heard another foul word out of his mouth. But see, that's what God tells you and me to do. We're to be the ones that tells others what the Word says. But now is the time to get rid of anger, rage, malicious behavior, slander, and dirty language. So there should be no dirty language come out of the mouth of a child of God. 9 and 10 says, don't lie to each other, for you have stripped off your old evil nature and all its wicked deeds. In its place, you have clothed yourself with a brand new nature that is continually being renewed as you learn more and more about Christ, who created this new nature within you. What do you use to learn more about Christ? The Word. So you take God's Word and you read it and you study it, just like we're doing right now. We're learning what we should be like as Christians. Should there be any dirty language in a Christian's mouth? No, not ever. No, not at all. He told us to get rid of all of it. That means it's all gone. Should there be any sexual immorality in the church? No, not at all. Don't lie to each other, for you have stripped off your old evil nature and all its wicked deeds. In its place, you have clothed yourself with a brand new nature that is continually being renewed as you learn more and more about Christ, who created this new nature within you. Verse 11 and 12. In this new life, it doesn't matter if you are a Jew or a Gentile, if you're circumcised or uncircumcised, if you're barbaric, uncivilized, slave or free, Christ is all that matters, and He lives in all of us. Now, He only lives in us that have accepted Him as Lord and Savior. You know, He doesn't live in everybody, only the Christians. Since God chose you to be the holy people whom He loves, you must clothe yourselves with tender-hearted mercy, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Maybe you need to read that a couple of times. Let that kind of soak in. You and I, we are to clothe ourselves with tender-hearted mercy, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. I know that's a piece of cake. Isn't that so easy? You know, I keep telling people when I have all these problems, I say, you know, get over it. God didn't say it's going to be easy, did He? He just told us what to do. He didn't say it's going to be easy, did He? No, quite to the contrary. It's going to be difficult. But if He told us to do it, He has empowered us to do it. Verse 13 and 14. You must make allowances for each other's faults and forgive the person who offends you. You must do this. Remember, the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others. Now, we don't do a very good job of that. If we'd done a good job of that, there would be no divorces in the church. And the most important piece of clothing you must wear is love. Love is what binds us all together in perfect harmony. That's what I love about church. Being around Christian people. Really Christian people. I love working here at the Ministry Center because we work around people all day, every day that love each other. Verse 15 to 16. And let the peace that comes from Christ rule in your hearts. For as members of one body, you're all called to live in peace and always be thankful. That's what Dave said a while ago. He's not sure he's thankful in everything. Well, none of us probably are thankful in everything, but we should be. We should all be thankful in everything. Let the words of Christ in all their richness live in your hearts and make you wise. Use His words to teach and counsel each other. Sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs to God with thankful hearts. Sing to each other. You know, when everything else goes wrong, sing, praise the Lord. You know, I mean, some of us are singers and some of us are not singers. You know? So that finds out how much love you have. If you can be around me listening to my songs, well, hey, you're really loving me. Praise the Lord. And I appreciate those that do love me. Praise the Lord. Verse 17 and 18. And whatever you do or say, let it be as a representative of the Lord Jesus, all the while giving thanks through Him to God the Father. Now, I will have to say, let me make this statement about this gentleman, George, that up in Minneapolis. After about a year, he asked me to do something for him one day, and it wasn't no issue. I was able to do it real easy. So I did it, and later one of the guys called me and said, you know what George said about what you've done? I said, I have no idea. They said, when George asked you to do something, he knew it was going to be very difficult. But you did it anyway for him. And he said, you know, if I ever met a man that I think looked exactly like Jesus, it's Thurman Scrivener. I thought, wow, what a compliment coming from a man that I had reprimanded a year and a half ago about his vocabulary. Now then, the guy is calling me Jesus on the earth. But is that what that scripture just said? Is that what the scripture just told us? Is that just for Thurman? No, that's for all of us. Whatever you do or say, let it be as a representative of the Lord. Wow. I can't think of anything greater or better than somebody to say, if I ever saw a woman that looked like Jesus, it's you. Would that be awesome? Your compliments can't be no greater than that, right, Kim? No. I mean, do you know people that call themselves Christians and when they get upset, they glory in saying, this is just the way I am?
You have been listening to Thurman Scrivener of the Living Savior Ministries. We are going to stop here for today, but we will return at our next scheduled broadcast with more teaching. If you would like today's broadcast in its entirety, entitled Make Allowance for Each Other's Faults, or you would like any other Living Savior Ministries teaching on CD or DVD, we will be happy to send them to you free and postpaid. You can contact the Living Savior Ministries at 940-242-2106. That's area code 940-242-2106. You can also listen to any of the Living Savior Ministries teachings online or order them free and postpaid by going to the Living Savior Ministries website at www.tlsm.org. That's www.tlsm.org. Praise the Lord Jesus.